Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 28. And we're going to start at verse 13. We kind of went over that verse last week a little bit, but it's a good place for us to start. It's a wonderful verse for us anyway. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And we talked about both of those things being important, confessing and forsaking, not just confessing them, but forsaking them as well. And part of the meaning of the word confess, you can pick it up by looking at opposites in the scripture. And we've been doing this and emphasizing this oftentimes when we see the word but in a verse. And so the idea of covering sins and the idea of confessing sins are opposites. Covering them obviously is hiding them up, sort of like Achan did, but confessing them means to bring them out into the open. God already knows, and so we're not enlightening him whenever we tell him and confess our sins there. But if we try to hide it from him, that's kind of foolish because it's not going to happen there. So we confess and we forsake, and whenever we do that, the verse says we have mercy. Now the next verse says, "Happy is the man that fears alway, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief." And those who harden the heart are those who don't do what we just read in verse 13. They don't confess and forsake. So if a person has sin in his life, sin in his heart, and the Lord convicts him of that, and rather than confessing and forsaking it, he tries to cover it up, he begins to harden his heart there. And the more he does that, the more his heart is hardened. And verse 14 says, the more he falls into mischief. And so a man, especially a believer, who sins, if he doesn't confess that and get it out in the open before the Lord will send some mischief along. Because the Lord is interested in his confessing and forsaking it, and so he'll discipline him until he does there. And then verse 15 says, "As the roaring lion, as a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth or lacks understanding is also a great oppressor. For he that hates covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him." And that's sort of where we stopped last week, talking about violence there. And we're going to see some of that tonight as we go farther along in these verses about people that are shedding blood. Being bloodthirsty is a word that we'll see later on if we get that far tonight. So look at verse 18 now. "Whoso walks uprightly shall be saved." Now, if you take that one verse by itself and you don't compare Scripture to Scripture, you could come away with a, you know, work salvation. If you want to be saved, you've got to walk uprightly. You've got to do what's right in order to be saved. But we know that we're not saved by works there. And so in this verse 18, it says, "But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once." And so God wants us to walk uprightly, but we don't do it in order to gain our salvation. Once we are saved, we walk uprightly because we want to honor the Lord and please him. And if we don't, then there's going to be some calamity or there's going to be some falling in verse 18. We know that we don't fall from our salvation, but there can be not just spiritual harm, there can be physical harm as well whenever we harden the heart and we don't confess and forsake sin. Verse 19, "He that tills his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." So the vain persons obviously are those who are lazy, they don't want to work for a living, they want everything handed to them. But the person who's diligent and the person who tills his land, he's going to have plenty of bread. And the Bible likens itself to bread, the bread of life, the Word of God. And so if we're going to have plenty of bread spiritually, what do we have to till? We have to till the Word of God, don't we? And so just as a man can till the land and plow it up and get out all the rocks, you know, and get it ready, so it is with our hearts as well. When we get into the Word of God and we dig into it, God uses that and He nourishes our soul as well. Verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. But, here's another contrast, he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Faithfulness is so important to us as believers, isn't it? And when you think about faithfulness, faithfulness with what? Well, the two greatest things that we have that the Lord gives to us would be time and money. Well, you need money to get things, food and clothing and rent and all of those things. But time, we use our time for the Lord. And so if we're going to be faithful to the Lord, we need to be faithful in those two things. The time God gives us every moment of every day, we don't waste it. The money God gives us, we don't waste it. We're faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so here it says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. And God also not just gives us time and money, He gives us talents, abilities, and we must be faithful with whatever God gives us, and He'll multiply it like the loaves and the fish there. But the other side of that in verse 19, verse 20, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent there. And so, in other words, he'll be guilty, being haste to be rich. A lot of books on that, aren't there? Do you ever see the book Think and Grow Rich? There's a book like that, and a lot of get rich quick schemes, and this verse talks about that. If a person is making haste to be rich, he's going to be guilty there. He's going to fall into a trap. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveting after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so they're guilty. In other words, guilty of what? When we look at verse 20, it says, he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. That means they're guilty. Guilty of what? Well, in this verse, the context is faithfulness. So therefore, they're guilty of unfaithfulness there. And so rather than hasting to be rich, we should haste to be faithful. Faithful with whatever God has given to us. We should haste to be faithful with that because it's required that we be faithful with what God has given to us. Now, verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. And men sometimes will take a bribe. They'll transgress to get what they want there to feed his soul. As it talks about in verse 21, it says, for a piece of bread, he'll do that. He'll do wrong. But yet man won't do right in order to get the bread of God's word there. Verse 22 says, he that hasteth to be rich, this thought is continuing, has an evil eye, that is covetous. He's always looking for, when he makes a decision, how is this going to affect me? You know, and his always central focus is on self. So he that hastes to be rich has an evil eye, and he considers not that poverty shall come upon him there. And the poverty is going to come. It might not come in this life, But poverty in the next life is a whole lot worse, isn't it? If a person has poverty after death, the worst kind of poverty they can have is not having the Lord with them. Eternal damnation in hell there. Verse 23, he that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. Rebuking someone. Hold your place there and go over to Ephesians 5:11. Ephesians 5:11. I'll get there and read it in just a minute. Nobody likes to be rebuked, and usually we don't like the task of being the one to go and rebuke someone either. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But, here's another contrast over in this verse, but rather reprove them. So having no fellowship with works of darkness is just being neutral. But God doesn't want us just to be neutral, does he? He wants us to take an active stand for righteousness and reprove wrong whenever we see it. And of course, there are many verses that talk about the way we do that. We don't do it in pride, thinking that we're better than someone else. We go to them humbly, trying to restore a brother or sister there. And so whenever we rebuke, in verse 23, it says, he that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with his tongue. And we're going to see some flattery in just a little bit as we go through these verses. 24 says, whoso robbeth his father or his mother. Can you imagine somebody stealing from mom and dad? Well, maybe a 4 or 5 year old taking money out of a purse or something like that. But what about adults as their parents get older? And maybe it's easy to take from them. Notice the rest of the verse, not just taking from father, mother. It says, whoever robs his father, mother, and he says, it's not a transgression. In other words, he's saying, well, this is due to me there. Then it says, the rest of the verse, I'll find it in a minute. He says, the same is a companion of a destroyer there. And so if a person thinks just because his parents and he has a rightful inheritance to it, and he go ahead and takes it before it's given to him, he's like a destroyer. That word destroyer is a powerful word because it's the name that's used for Satan there. And if we're going to try to be faithful to God, we're never going to be faithful if we're doing things like the devil does, and taking advantage of parents is one of the things he addresses here. Now, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Hold your place here and go back a few chapters. Chapter 13, verse 10. Talks about the pride heart. 13:10. It says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And so when a person is full of pride, he's never, ever going to admit that he was wrong. He just won't do it. And because of that, there becomes contention. So going back to 28:25, it says, he that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. There's contention because he won't humble himself. But notice the contrast again. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. You want to be made fat? Trust in the Lord? Let me address the word fat before we look at the word trust. In the scripture, when that word is used as a result of trusting in the Lord and being satisfied, like we are full after we have eaten a good meal and we have that satisfied feeling, well, we eat too much, we might not be there. Notice the contrast here with the but in this verse. It's contrasting a proud heart and trusting in the Lord. So the person who has a proud heart is trusting in himself rather than the Lord. And it was that sin that caused Satan to be kicked out of heaven, pride. Whenever we are lifting our hearts in pride, we are not trusting God. And whenever we trust God, we're going to be satisfied to the fullest. We might not understand, we might not have what we think we want, but when we're trusting God, he's going to give us what he knows we need, and we will be spiritually fat as we trust the Lord and satisfied with what he has for us. The idea of trusting in Hebrew often has the idea of attaching yourself or clinging to something. And so when we trust the Lord, we're clinging to him. We're attaching ourselves to him and what he has promised. And he has said, if we are faithful, not seeking to be rich, not lifting our hearts in pride, but if we're faithful with the time he's given us, the money he's given us, the talents, if we're faithful to him, then we're going to have that satisfied fullness like being fat in verse 25. Now, verse 26 continues this idea of trusting, but not God. He that trusts in his own heart, that is a person who trusts his own feelings, he trusts his own emotions, he trusts his own conscience. You've heard the phrase, let your conscience be your guide. Well, that might work if your conscience is really working well and in tune with the Spirit of God, but if it's not, it's not going to lead us the right way. So this verse says, a person who's trusting in his own heart, he's not made fat. He's a fool, verse 26 there. And so we don't want to trust in our own heart. We want to trust God instead. We want to cling to him, not cling to ourselves, our own ideas that we have there. And verse 26 goes on to say, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And so notice the connection there, walking wisely. It's talking about don't trust in your own heart. Trust in the Lord and walk wisely. So walking wisely and trusting the Lord go together. So trusting the Lord is not just sitting idly by and waiting, though waiting is a part of it. It's walking. It's continuing to do something, continuing to be faithful with our time and our money and our talents. We keep doing it, and we trust God. We don't trust ourselves. As we saw way back in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding and all your ways, the way that you're walking wisely, then he will direct your paths there. Verse 27, he that gives to the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse there. And so whenever we give to the poor, God honors that. There's another verse we saw that says, he that gives to the poor lendeth to the Lord. And so individually, whenever you give to the poor, whether you do it on your own with people you meet, or maybe you designate in the offering to go to feed the homeless, or we as a church, since we are doing that as a church, God honors that. He that gives to the poor shall not lack. And God meets our needs as we give to those in need. Oftentimes I have opportunity to be the channel through which people give to other people anonymously. And that's happened several times this week there. Sunday after church, after I prayed and I was walking back to the back, somebody handed me an envelope with some cash in it with somebody's name on it, and they wanted me to give it to that person. But they wanted to do it anonymously. and two other times this week at school that has happened. And it's so encouraging, isn't it? Whenever brothers and sisters see a need and they give, and the Lord honors that, and we can't outgive the Lord. He will bless. He that gives to the poor, the needy, will not lack. But he that hides his eyes, a person who pretends he doesn't see, he's going to ignore this need, and he's not going to get the blessing. He's going to miss out on it. It says he shall have many a curse. So if we give to the poor, God says he'll bless us. But if we see a need and we don't, then we don't get the blessing. We miss out. And that involves trust, doesn't it? I say, well, I know he has a need, but I have a need too, you know, and I really don't have any to spare. That's where trust comes in. If we had it to spare, there wouldn't be any trust involved in it, would it? And so whenever we give to meet the needs of others, over in Luke it talks about give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again there. And God honors his word. Now verse 28, and we'll finish up this chapter. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves for fear of being persecuted when they take a stand for righteousness there. But when they perish, the righteous increase. When the good times come, a lot of so-called Christians start popping up everywhere, you know, because there's not persecution. But oftentimes the Lord uses persecution to separate those who are Christian in name only and those who are really true believers. Those who are true believers, they're going to be faithful to the Lord, whether there's a wicked ruler or whether there's a godly ruler. They're going to be faithful to the Lord whether they're in the majority or whether they're in the minority. They're going to be faithful to the Lord because all of the things around them don't determine whether they're faithful or not. Their desire to please God in their heart there. And so whenever it says the wicked perish, the righteous will increase. And as believers, we shouldn't be afraid of being faithful to the Lord, whether there are righteous people in control or unrighteous. There's a lot of unrighteousness. I don't know why I read the news. Sometimes you read the news and you see so many negative things, you know, and it seems like so many of our freedoms are trying to be taken away. And we can look at all that and we can get discouraged and just throw in our hands and quit. But we don't want to. We want to be faithful. God hasn't called us to change the world, not individually. As a group, maybe we can as we spread the gospel. But he has called each one of us to be faithful, and God honors faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, help us that we might be faithful in our walk with you, that we would walk wisely. Help us to be faithful in helping to meet the needs that are of those who are less fortunate. Help us to be faithful with the money and the time and the talent that you have given to us, that we would use it all for your honor and glory. Lord, keep us from the temptation of leaning on our own understanding and trusting in our own heart, but to learn to lean on you and to trust you even when we don't know what the end result is going to be. That even makes it more meaningful to trust. So help us to walk by faith. In Christ's name, amen.